he has to serve as their executive director. It would be a distinct honor and a great privilege and a very critical responsibility. I believe we all feel that the American Scientific Affiliation is a very important organization. It has a 64-year history. It has a rich tradition and a strong intellectual foundation. But we're not here to talk about the past. We're here to talk about the future. Where are we headed? What would we like to see the organization be? What would we like to do? And I'd like to share a few thoughts with you, primarily to stimulate your thinking, get your feedback, and see if we can work together in harmony as we move forward into what we believe is of service to God and to each other. So as I think about ASA and its role, I like to think about it in three primary functions. I'm sure there are others, but three predominant things that we're all about. First of all, we are a fellowship of Christians in science. We use that in our letterheads and our publication. But it's an important differentiator. That is a key distinction for us from other think tanks, from intellectual portals that may be around. We are really a fellowship of Christians in science, and that is an important role. Why is it so important? I think most of us know that as we work in our scientific laboratories, we don't have that many Christian colleagues. And as we go into our churches and worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, for most of us, there aren't that many scientists. And often, we seek and need colleagues who tend to think alike, who share something in common. And so the ASA has a critical function here of bringing together Christians and science for that fellowship. There's an important reason why prayer and devotion are part of this meeting. We're here to worship together. Second function of ASA is to be a resource to the Christian community. Of course, we are part of the Christian community, so it's a resource for ourselves, among ourselves, and we communicate and we talk to each other. But broader than that, we're here to serve as a resource to the rest of the Christian community to help them understand how to think about the critical issues involving science and Christian faith. There are many different audiences out there. The Christian community is quite diverse. It's not an easy task. It's broad, but it's a function that we must serve. Finally, the third function is an outreach to the scientific community and to the public. Beyond the Christian community, we need to represent to them what does it mean to be a Christian in science? What is the relationship of Christian faith to the scientific community? It's our responsibility to convey that perspective to other scientists as well as to the public. These are three key functions. How well are we doing? How are we doing? Are we meeting those kind of objectives? Are we really serving that function? I think all of us would say the answer is mixed. We do some things very well. We have an outstanding journal. The quality of the papers in the journal over the years is outstanding. I think many of us like our annual meetings. I think a lot of the functions that we do are outstanding. And yet, I think many of us are frustrated and we feel that we're making not as much impact as we'd like on the Christian community, and we're frustrated with how to really influence the scientific community and to make a public statement. So, what should we do about this? Where should we go? What should we do with the community? May I suggest that we work out action plans in three main areas. Three main areas, and we can tune in as we go forward and just try to strengthen our impact in these different functional areas. First of all, I would like to see us take specific action to enhance our communication effectiveness. Right now, we communicate through the journal, through the newsletter, and we've got a growing presence on our website. Terry Gray, Jack Haas have done a tremendous job of putting a lot on the website. And it's an incredible repository of information that we collect. But there's so much more we can do. It doesn't just need to be a passive repository that you have to go in search mode and figure out where's the right keyword and get something. Electronic media is powerful. And we can leverage that to do a lot. Yes, we can make a lot of our administrative work a lot more efficient, make that more productive. But I'm really talking about content, interactive content. How can we communicate with each other and leverage tomorrow night, I think, or is it Sunday night, communication commission is one, Paul Arbison, is a place where maybe you can bring some of your ideas and see what else we can do. Perhaps we can build on the article in the journal. Maybe we can have online live interviews with our authors. Let's build on the intellectual assets that are there. Let's have some dynamic exchanges that are fun and high impact in terms of our exchange. There are many other things. Look for your ideas. Let us know. I want feedback. Tell us and other people on the staff in terms of how we can do things better to improve our communication with each other. The second area in which I'd like to see us develop a lot more action plans is extraordinarily difficult, but it's one we must do, and that is we must stimulate and make available production of more resources for the Christian community. Over and over again, I get asked from people from the rest of the church or other places, can you recommend some material for me? I need it in a Sunday school class. I need it in high school. I need it in college. I need it in other environments. And, wow. You know, you're like, hey, it's tough to think about. Where is it coming from? What's its audience? Where is it? What's at the appropriate level? Where is it? And you start to look at the journal. Well, wait a minute. You know, that's at a pretty high level. And it's very meaningful to many of us. People aren't ready for it. It needs to be taken through. Where are the resources that we can really apply to the relevant audiences? Okay. I believe it is a vital function of the ASA to ensure that these kind of materials are produced, they're made available in some way. Now, right away, I can see the look on your face. And they can never make consensus on anything. We can never agree. We all disagree on every aspect. And if you've ever logged out the discussion list for even a few weeks, you know it'd be hopeless to get agreement on anything. And of course, there's that little
policy that says ASA won't take a stand on anything. We have our official policy of neutrality. So how can we get anything done? Permit me to digress a few minutes and comment on this policy of neutrality. First of all, I will say, as long as I'm in this role, we will not change that policy. And we will not have it up for debate. Over the years, it's been fascinating to read the history and the growth and development of the ASA. This was heavily discussed many times in the origin of the ASA. It was reaffirmed over and over again through its development. It played a strong role, and I see no reason to change it. However, we do need to think through what it means, because I think too often we have misrepresented it. And one of the things that it does not mean is wishy-washy relativism. It doesn't mean that, oh, whatever you think is fine, whatever you think is fine, oh, yeah, okay, you believe something else, fine, everything's okay. That's not neutrality. That's not neutrality. And that's not what ASA is all about. We have a strong platform of two planks that is not very neutral at all. On the one hand, we have a strong statement of faith. Many of you worked long and hard to word it carefully and really structure it in the proper way, based on the Apostolic and Nicene Creed, you know, and we affirm our collective belief in one triune God, who is the creator of all things, whose incarnate Son came to earth to die on the cross for our salvation, and was resurrected to prepare a place for us, and it is through that cross that we have our salvation and that we begin to understand what this world is all about. This is our statement of faith. That is radical. That is not neutral. And that is where our proactive stand is. And we stand for that against the atheistic naturalism in this world. And we must not forget that that is a most important fight that we have. And we must rally around that. That's one important plank of our of the ASA. The second one is our commitment to integrity in science. Extremely important. There's so much in today's world that tries to pass off as science a bunch of technical jargon. Okay? We are committed to integrity in science. We have some slightly different views as to exactly what that means, but the scientific methodology is time-tested, and through its process, we arrive at a better understanding of a description of our world. We must ensure integrity in science. Now, how does that play out? Okay, because in many places, we will have differences of opinion as to what it means under those two umbrellas. And our position is that the role of the ASA is to encourage and enable dialogue in an atmosphere of trust and respect the honest differences within those two key planks of our platform. And it's important that we continue to provide that. It is not easy. And there will be many difficult times. Some of you may have been there. Others of you have heard about that time 42 years ago when at this meeting was filled with discord and rancor. And after the meeting, the team of 10 founded the Creation Research Society. 8 of them were ASA members. Okay? It was not a good time in ASA history. It was not a meeting characterized by good relationships. Okay? I believe ASA stood firm on its principles, and I believe that was the right path. There are many other areas where we have differences of opinion. I believe ASA was a very important environment for the development of intelligent design. Many of our members were and continue to be important in that, and I'm glad to see that Sunday afternoon we have our symposium on models of creation, and we will have a debate on the topic. At this point, I would like to make it very clear to everyone that ASA will not become an ID advocacy group, nor will it become an anti-ID advocacy group. But we will provide the forum for clear thinking and debate, strong and forceful and vigorous debate, but in an atmosphere of love and respect, without ridicule and scorn, and in recognition of our unity as a body of Christ, and our unity and our belief in the Creator, and that our real enemy here is the atheistic naturalism. Even as we skirmish about the best place to carry out that fight, we must never lose sight of what the real battle is all about. Okay? And I think it is so easy for us to forget it in our passion and in our focus when other people are not hearing our arguments. We resort to ridicule and scorn. It's kind of human nature. It comes out. But part of our Christian testimony, whether it be in our open meetings, whether it be on the discussion list, or in any environment, okay, as the body of Christ, it is important that we continue to value each other as the body of Christ and to give honor to Him in the course of our discussion. The third area in which I'd like to see us develop some action plans has to do with personal interaction. Electronic communication is fine, publications are outstanding, materials are good, but there is no substitute for personal interaction. That's one of the tremendous values of this meeting. That's why you're here. You're here because you understand that more than just reading an article, that listening to a speaker, talking with other people, engaging others in a dialogue, that is a dimension you cannot get any other way. But only 10% of our members can really attend an annual meeting. Okay? It's relatively small for many different reasons, geographical, financial, etc. And so a long history of ASA has been local sections. And for me, my personal history, Ted talked about Jim Neidhart. Jim in the metropolitan New York area, local section had a tremendous impact on me and my wife Marta. Both of us really felt that the local section of ASA was able to take this abstract entity of this broad ASA function and translate it into something real. But something's happening in our social dynamics. Most of our local sections are gone. We're not functioning. We're barely functioning. We still have a few. Ted and Al and a few are thriving here in this area, and a few sections are still going. But for the most part, it's not working. Okay? Shall we resuscitate a dying horse? How shall we do this? Well, there are a lot of different things, and we should try anything that works. But there's one aspect that I'd like to see us try. See if it works. I'd like to see us focus on a smaller group. Our local sections have tended to be large geographical, well, relatively large geographical sections. I'd like to see us put together a plan to initiate individual ASA chapters on secular university campuses. We have traditionally been a stronghold in Christian college campuses. That's often been our base. It still is in many cases. But in many ways, there's a difference there. That's where you get a lot of the intellectual source. But when you talk about need for fellowship, well, you know, everybody in the science department is a Christian over there on a Christian college campus. And it's not the same driving force in terms of what pulls it together. In a secular university where you have the science students, Christians coming into the secular university with no context, they are more in need of guidance, direction, discussion, and fellowship than anyone else. It's a very important venue. But can we penetrate that? Do we have any way? I believe we can. I believe the door is wide open for us to make a tremendous impact on university campuses throughout this country. I was delighted at the reaction that I've already received from several campuses. My alma mater is the University of Illinois. The Vice Chancellor of Research, who's not a Christian, heard what I was doing when I chatted with him. You know, he was stunned for a little bit. But he thought about it and he says, "You know, Randy, I want you to use ASA, I want ASA to use University of Illinois as the base to have the dialogues. This is where those dialogues of science and Christian faith should happen. I want you on our campus." There are other contacts. The Dean of Engineering at Cornell, strong Christian, Kent Fox, came out of Illinois. Very interested. How can we work together? I found a hunger and desire on secular campuses that surprised me. There is a recognition in our society today that the issue of science and religion is one of the most important issues facing us. I was shocked a few weeks ago at my retirement reception at IBM when one of the people who got up to say a few words was Bob Denard, the inventor of the one-device DRAM cell, the inventor of transistor scaling. He's been there 40-some years. He's got the National Medal of Technology. And, you know, most of us who work with him kind of work with him in awe. And to my knowledge, he had no real community with the Christian group at IBM. He got up and told the group, he said, and I quote, "As important as the work is that Randy's been doing at IBM, the work you will be doing in the future is far more important. I was floored. Never discussed Christian things with him before. That was his view. After that, the director of physical sciences, also not good, said the same thing. And the feedback I got from a lot of people, I expected ridicule, scorn. Why would you do something like this? But there's a recognition out there in the community that wants integrity in discussion of the critical issues of science and Christian faith. The door is open for us. Where are we? Are we ready? Are we prepared to move in? It's a tall order. It's a tall order. There's a lot of work to be done. There are not very many of us, and it's a large country. There are a lot of people. But we're God's organization. We, as members, put our trust in God. Basically, we want to do God's will. We want Him to work through us in whatever role He wants us to play. We can't do everything. We're not going to be the total answer. We're not going to be the only ones there with the right answers. You know, we don't have the answers. We've got more questions than answers anyway. But nevertheless, we, as members of the body of Christ, as common interests here in the scientific community, we can make ourselves available to God. And I would ask each one of you that you spend time in prayer, that we collectively spend time praying, seeking God's guidance for our organization. How can we best serve Him? How can we reach this community? And ask Him that He will call men and women in science who will be committed, who will take the time and the effort to participate in these particular functions. Let God's will be done. And Ken, let's continue with the conference. Thank you very much.